Father, we dedicate and give this time to you. This time meaning our understanding, our mind, our emotions, our will, until you visit us, each and every one of us, with the enlightenment, with the revelation, with the understanding that we so desperately need this morning. We love you, Lord. We thank you in advance that we're changed and grown, because we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Once again, our basics. We're staying with the basics. I don't know why, but I just feel a real strong hand of God to not only stay in the basics, but stay in the New Testament. Just hang in there. It's, you know me. I love the Old Testament. I love the whole Word. But for some reason, I feel like we're supposed to stay in the New Testament, simply because if we're going to go to basics, we have to go to what Jesus said and did. I hope we understand that. If you ever want to know how you're supposed to live, all you have to do is read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That will correct you and direct you on how you should act. I found it very interesting. I was watching Fox News the other day, of all things, and O'Reilly had one of these emails that came in that said, you know, running down anything but liberal. You know what liberal means? Liberal means everybody does anything they want to do and there's no punishment. If you boil down liberal to the finest mark, that's what you'll find. No punishment, no retribution, no reaction, no nothing. I don't care if you rape my wife and steal my daughter. Everybody's got their own rights. You boil it down to that simple. And this email came in and said, Jesus was against violence. And it's amazing to me that even the newsmen very, very calmly said, I wonder how they would explain Jesus and the temple. A newsman would say that. He didn't go any further than that. I wonder how you would explain Jesus in the temple. Of course, if you get into the Old Testament, you're going to find out there was a lot more violent acts than that. From the CEO, from the commander-in-chief, from the six-star general. Well, there's no higher than five except for God, so six is enough. Who? All right, we'll go with the seven. Seems to be a consensus here. Just in case there's some Saddam Hussein out there that's gotten six stars by now. Okay, we'll go that route. Now, you can't give him enough stars, let's put it that way. But you know you have to salute a one-star general too? So some of us haven't even learned to salute the one star. We think we're free and can do what we want and say what we want, and we forget. I'll still say to you openly that every man in the world that's born in the United States, I should say, should have to serve in the military. Everyone. So that they can get that stinking independent spirit out of them. So that they can learn that a group is stronger than an individual any day in the world. That's why God himself won't even allow God himself. He has a Trinity. He doesn't believe in individualism. I taught my son to be an individual. Just better do it like I did it. They'll grow out of that. All right. This morning, the title of the message. And you're going to think, I've heard this before, but you're going to hear it again. God wants us healed. What do we want? I'm going to go through this nearly like a little school lesson. Let's just do it like a school lesson. By the way, I found something interesting this morning. I was watching this, was it a Discovery Channel or National Geographic Channel, whatever it was. And they were coring down through these big ice caps so that they can look at it. You know, man has always got to understand everything. It doesn't seem like man wants to take anything for granted. You know, we told Karen the other day that there might be an opportunity where we could get a lot more help financially to do the food bank. And a response to me was, I didn't understand it, so I didn't pay any attention to it. And I went, sorry, Karen. I said, well, we can grow bigger. Well, we don't grow bigger. We got all we can do right now. No, you didn't understand. We were offering help. Well, that's not just her, in case you want to know. That's most of us. If we don't understand it, we don't get it. We don't take it. We don't receive it. And God has already told you that his thoughts are so far above yours that you will never understand. You're just supposed to take advantage. You got that? I don't care if you understand what we're going to teach today. It makes no difference about your understanding. God didn't say, I will fund you with healing if you understand. He just said, I'll do that if you receive it and believe it. How do I believe it if I don't understand it? You just do it. You just do it. You open your mouth like the little bird and you swallow whatever comes down. The definition of healing, healed, heal, and even worship, is therapeuo. Isn't that amazing? Therapy. The very definition. It means in directing to God, you being healed directly depends upon your adoration and worship of God. Now that's the direction to God. God to you, to relieve all disease, to cure, to heal, and to worship. That's what heal means. Healing is not a one-way street. Y'all don't pray for healing if you can't give up your worship. It's a two-way street. You'll get your healing out of worship. That's basically what therapy means. It's like saying therapy requires you rub me and I rub you. God is not a therapist that's designed to rub you the right way. It's a union. It's a marriage. You're going to get rubbed by being rubbed, by rubbing. If you want to know the strongest definition, it's to wait upon God menially. You know what that means? That means you serve Him and He heals you, or He serves you. Let's boil this down again. There is no life without health. All life comes from God. Is not that not the Scripture?
Yes,
and if life and health are the same word, then the only way you're going to get it is to wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, their strength is renewed. Wait, that wait person that waits upon the Lord, serves the Lord, gets renewed. He mounts up with wings as eagles. He runs and he don't get tired. He fights and he doesn't get tired. He doesn't give up. Why? Because he's busy waiting upon the Lord. So you can be a waiter or a waitress, but you've got to be one of the two. That's what therapy means. Okay, what is the plan of God for healing? If you've never been asked that, you've never talked about healing enough. Because I can tell you, I don't care if you're talking to a saint or a sinner, you're going to get asked, well, what does God really think about healing? And you may not get asked in that words, but you will get asked, does it apply to everybody? Is he random? Is he selective? What? All right, we know this one, but we're not going to forget this one. Here is the plan of God. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. If God says my plans are not to harm you, then don't ever, ever sit by and be a liberal and listen to somebody say, God gave me... Get your dander up if somebody says that. Just get mad and say that you must know a false God. You don't know the real one, because I read the real word and he said his plans are not to harm me. Plans to give you hope and a future. When you understand that, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, and if you're in captivity, I will bring you back from captivity. Captivity can come in all kinds of forms. Demonic possession, oppression, financially. Health is the number one. You can get in captive and bondage to bad health. Said, call up in, I'll bring you back from that bondage. Now, how much did God want us to be healed? Isn't that a nice saying?
More than we want.
Isn't that a nice saying? If I needed to be healed, would you send him to the cross and get beat up and hung and killed for me? Whoa, we just got real all of a sudden. The little saying, it got feet and it got blood and it got hurt. Remember, I preached a message one time that said, I'm glad my salvation doesn't depend upon you. That was real to me at that moment. Because God let me focus in what it might cost me, how would I feel about it, and would I accomplish it. God the Father gave Jesus the Son to bring us from captivity. That's called salvation. We've already talked about that. Please get these tapes and CDs and listen to them over and over, these simple ones, so they become, you know what your basic belief is? It is not Republican or Democrat. That's not a basic belief. The basic belief is not... I don't even know how to explain it. It's something that is so real to you that if the whole world voted against you, you'd still stand. That's your basic belief. Now, God wanted us healed so bad. Now, I really don't have time, but just remember this. He created a perfect world without sin, death, and destruction. The one that kills, steals, and destroys came and we chose that person. Destruction entered into this earth. God had to do something about it. Now, that's about as simple as I know how to say it without going into a lot of scripture. It got dirty. It got sinful. The world did. And God was so concerned that He did it again. He cleansed the earth through Noah and the flood. But man has this thing about being independent, not dependent. Nobody wants to be dependent. God says you will depend on somebody, me or yourself, and you're a loser. I know that's not a good political statement, but we can't get saved from anything until we know we're in trouble. God said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to send somebody to clear this thing up once and for all. And it's going to cost me dearly. I'm going to ask my son, who I know will do anything that I say, I'm going to ask him to take these stripes and bruises. I'm going to ask him to do that, and he'll do it. So it's all on my shoulders. I'm not asking Jesus really anything. He's going to do whatever I ask him to do. So the burden of sin, the burden of the pain of Jesus' death, and it's hard for us to understand that, but if it was your choice to send him to death, you'd understand how much that would hurt. That's how much God wanted us saved and healed and prosperous, by the way. It's all in one bundle. In Isaiah 53:5, God looked down the road and said, I'm going to do this. Jesus looked down the road and said, I'm going to do this. And so when God says, I'm going to do it, and Jesus says, I'm going to do it, it's done. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for our transgressions. Hadn't even been done yet, and yet it's already done. You hearing me?
Yeah.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We love those first three verses. We pull back from the fourth. And I don't understand how you can legally and morally do that. You won't let anybody tell you you're going to go to hell for a sin. But you'll let somebody tell you if you don't get this treatment or that, you'll die. I don't understand the theology there. I think it's because we've watered the Scripture down. He was wounded for our transgressions. Now, we have the easy job. We're on this side of the death of Jesus Christ. So we have an easy side looking back. We call that history. Well, maybe we need to get back on the other side. Maybe we need to get in the Old Testament for a little bit and really test our faith and let our healing depend on something that's going to happen. Would it have been easier to believe that we were healed before Jesus or after Jesus? I think it would be easier after. So we have no excuse. We have no excuse. That's how bad the Trinity wanted us healed, saved, and delivered, and prosperous. Why don't we just go ahead and put that word in there? Because it's part of every scripture that I can find. Prosperity is part of salvation. Prosperity is part of healing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. How can you be merry if you're in serious trouble all the time? By the way, where's our prosperity going to come from? So it's not from our hard work, is it? Although, God says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So He wants us to work. Where does our healing come from?
God.
Is it a free gift that doesn't require anything from us? Or is faith without works dead? Okay. I thank God for the free gift of salvation that cost me dearly. How much does it cost us? Well, come on, let's get this down. 1 Corinthians 2:12, and this is as simple as I can make it before I read this to you. There is no sacrifice that you can give that will obtain salvation, our healing, our prosperity, our joy. We're taught that if we praise and worship, we'll get joy. No. Sometimes we can worship or praise ourselves out of a little doldrum, but true peace and true joy has already been given to you. That's what you're worshiping about. We deal way too much on the sacrifice of praise and on the fact that the work is already done. That gives us pause for worship. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. There's your answer. These things have been freely given to us. You see, God never said this. Take up your cross and follow me to the cross. He never said that. You understand how simple that thought is? He never said, take up your cross and follow me to the cross. He said, let me show you how it's done. and you just participate. What does participate mean? And take up your cross and follow me. That means the sins that were taken to the cross, you take them to the same cross. You do that. You don't have to die on it. You've got to take them to there. You've got to believe something was done there. You've got to have so much belief in that that you change your whole life's attitude because of that. You've got to understand that every time you make a mistake, from this point forward, you look back at what was done at the cross by Jesus, not the cross. Does that make sense to you? That's the work that we have to do. You have an accuser that's faithful. He'll accuse you of being unhealthy. He'll accuse you of being stupid. He'll accuse you of being old. He'll accuse you of being too young. He'll accuse you of not thinking properly. He'll accuse you of being too sinful, that your sins were too great. Everybody in here has heard all of this in your own spirit, so it's nothing new. Your faithfulness, your work has to be a liar going back to the truth. You're a liar, I'm going back to the truth. What? That God the Father, Jesus the Son, made a decision to do something for us that we did not deserve and we have not yet earned. You have never earned salvation. Right. You can't earn healing. You can't earn prosperity. You can't earn peace and you can't earn joy. You can't earn God. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. You can't earn the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues or being baptized or anything else. It is a free gift that the only way you're going to get is to believe in. And there is the work. Because the first time you believe, the enemy's going to come and try to steal that belief. There's the work. Every moment of every day, the enemy will try to steal your belief. And he may present you evidence. But you need to understand that there's no greater evidence than Jesus on the cross. That death, burial, and resurrection that freely was given. Is it totally free? James 2:20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Where's the works? The works is sticking with your faith. That's the work. I'm telling you, I've been told a trillion times if once by the enemy and by the enemy's representatives, sometimes even friends and Christians, that you're foolish when you believe totally in the Word of God. You try to stand against evidence and see if people don't tell you how stupid you are. So all we have to do is come up with some proof by the Word of God that you don't have a way out. Would that be a good way to say it? I'm going to prove to you this morning by Jesus himself that and his example that there is no way out except to turn your back on God. Matthew 8:16-17. There seems to be some idea in the church that Jesus heals some things and not others. And I don't quite understand that. Well, I do too. It's the enemy. But there seems to be an understanding that since some of y'all are going in that direction, getting old, especially Bob, the enemy wants us to understand that some sicknesses and diseases come with age, and we deserve them. We've earned them. And yet the free gift that Jesus gave, the example that he set, never included any of that.
That's right.
There seems to be an understanding in the church that sin brings sickness and disease, and it does. But it doesn't mandate. The blood mandates health.
Right.
The blood mandates freedom and joy and peace. Matthew 8:16-17. When evening had come, they brought to him, being Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Or we can say he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. Not every other one, not the deserving ones. He healed all who were sick. Now listen, this is why he did it. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Do you understand that little statement? It literally meant this. When God spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke this scripture that we were already healed, Jesus had no choice but to fulfill that obligation because it was a word from the Father. And from that point, anybody believed that word was healed. Anyone that believed that word was healed. Now, you know what I'm trying to do here this morning, don't you? I'm trying to talk me and you out of any reason to be anything but whole.
Amen.
That's all. No condemnation, but expectation.
Right, no condemnation.
Did he heal all of these, or was this just an isolated all incident?
Wasn't
an isolated incident. You mean this was the very belief? See, Jesus walked a belief, not a lifestyle. His lifestyle followed his belief. See, many people think that their lifestyle, they can make that. No way. No way. Your belief will set your lifestyle. Your belief system will control your tongue. It'll control your eyes. It'll control your thought processes. And even in this case, it'll control your pocketbook, your health. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Matthew 12:15. We got another one here. I'm not going to read the whole story. Just listen to this. But when Jesus knew it, that means that there was a big crowd, he withdrew from there. Crowds never thrilled Jesus. Did you know that? You never find a time when Jesus was comfortable in large crowds. He was more trying to get away from them than into them. And great multitudes followed him while he was trying to get away. And he healed them all. See, the first one I read you, well, he was in the middle of ministry. Those people came and sought him, and he was seeking them. So he healed them all. Well, we're in a different situation now. Jesus was tired. He didn't want anything more to do this. He wanted to get away. He wasn't in the right mood, and he healed them all. You hear what I'm saying? Things don't have to be perfect. People don't have to be perfect. And the person that's pronouncing healing doesn't have to be perfect. Because it is the perfect will of God for us to be healed. That's all we have to believe. We don't even have to be right. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. That means big crowds and little crowds, big groups and little groups, teaching in their churches, the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did Jesus teach?
Kingdom.
Not Jesus. I don't want to ever belittle Jesus. I mean, this guy's my hero from top to bottom. But I'm telling you, he never forgot whose kingdom it was. And when he did not teach Jesus, he taught the kingdom of the living God. Now here's what he did in his teaching and healing every sickness and every dis-ease among the people. So now we've passed infirmities. Jesus is not into just giving you a cold tablet. I mean, if there's something mentally bothering you, anything that makes you uncomfortable or dis-ease, and look it up in the Bible, you'll find out that dis-ease means exactly that. It doesn't mean infirmity. It means something that's causing you to be uncomfortable. He healed every sickness and every disease. Now, what problem did you have? I'm too dumb. I'm too smart. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too fast. I'm too slow. I got this bad history. I got no history at all. I've got too much experience. I don't have enough experience. I'm a good speaker. I'm not a good speaker. I'm a bad writer. I'm a good writer. What was the excuse? I'm too old. I'm too young. Yes, you are. The enemy will keep you in that position all of your life. You're too young until you're too old. I don't know when that is, but the enemy knows when it is, and you'll believe it. He healed every sickness and every disease. Well, you don't know about my... I don't know how many times you can hear that. But I'm having trouble with my... Well, that's why you're having trouble, because it's yours. Says, cast all of your cares upon him. So why don't you say that whatever problem it is that's bugging you, my big fat stump toe is Jesus. Jesus has a big fat stump toe. I don't have it anymore. Well, that's sacrilegious. No, it isn't. That's exactly what he commanded me to do. Cast all of my cares upon him. You remember my little message that says Jesus is as close as a waste paper basket or a trash can? Go back and look that one up. I nearly got plumb sacrilegious there. I am sacrilegious. I hate religion. The truth's in the Word. There's no religion in the Word. The religion comes away from the Word.
That's right. No.
So, whatever problem you have, whatever sickness and whatever disease, it's the perfect will of God. It is the will of God for them to all be gone.
Right.
Matthew 10:1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, now see what we're going to show you here. What I'm going to show you here is what he intends to pass on to you and I. He called his 12 disciples. Do you know what a disciple is? Following and learning and mimicking. That's the word. That's the definition of a disciple. One that follows, mimics, learns, does, like the leader. He called his 12 disciples to him. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. There goes Halloween. There goes horror movies. And that's supposed to, nothing's supposed to make me afraid. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds, various sorts of sickness and all kinds of disease. All kinds of sickness, all kinds of uncomfortableness. So we know that Jesus did it. And then we know that he showed those people that wanted to be like Jesus how to do it. And then commanded them all. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a watered-down version that applies to everything but cancer. Because you know that is a real mean disease. Our trouble is, somebody will walk up and say, you got a cold, and we don't pay any attention. They walk up and say, I got cancer. You go, oh, how long you got to live? I never saw that in the Scripture. I never saw Jesus one time walk up to somebody and say, how long have they told you you can live?
That's right. That's the truth.
Right. They walk up and say, you will live and not die. This is the will of God. How do we know that? Jesus walked it and talked it and did it.
Amen.
So if you want to follow Jesus, he's going to call you together and he's going to tell you, I give you power over unclean spirits, all and all sicknesses and all diseases. I give you that power.
Amen.
Well, it must cost something. It's just got to cost something. I mean, doctors have to go to college and pay tremendous amounts of money and work it. You know, 8, 10, 12 years to get this degree. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. This is after Matthew 10, 1, when he gave them a command. Here is the rest of the command. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. As you go, preach. Come on, people. You cannot be passive if you're preaching. You cannot be non-confrontational if you're preaching. You cannot be opinionless if you're preaching. You cannot even be concerned about the other person's opinion if you are preaching. Ooh, was that last one tough enough? You can rest assured, if I am preaching, I don't care about your opinion. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 8, as you go, preach, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Now look at this part. Freely you have received, freely give.
Amen.
What's the qualification?
Free.
What does it cost you?
Free.
Receive. I don't understand how it costs to receive. But I do. When you begin to believe for something over evidence, then it costs you to receive. It costs you worship. It costs you, you're going to have to learn Scripture. You're going to have to stand on that Scripture. You're going to have to quote it often. You're going to have to get your believer kicked in the butt when it stops or wants to stop. You hear me?
Yeah.
That's the cost. See, it says you got it free. So the cost is not in the getting. It's in the receiving. I did this last Sunday. I'll do it again. Here you go, Connie. Here it is. Now, hang on. Before you sit back down. Did this cost some calories?
Yeah.
And we laugh at that, but that's how simple it is. You know, once again, I'm going to say it again. God never delivered salvation to you. He made it available. It's such a simple thing. We don't even want to put it in our memory banks. Salvation was given freely. But you have to get up and get it. Christianity is a take situation. It always has been, it always will be. You will take your salvation, you will take your healing, you will take your prosperity. You will get up off of that wide spot and you will move over and over every day all the rest of your life, or you will lose it. Just like any muscle that you don't work, it atrophies. Freely you have received. In other words, I gave it to you, but you had to get up and freely get it. What does freely receive mean? That means you can't allow anything in your mind that would tell you you can't receive it. And I just went through a dozen things a while ago that the enemy's going to tell you why you can't receive it. Mostly you don't deserve it. Why don't you just paint it on your wall? I don't deserve it, but I'm receiving it anyway. Because God says so. Because I am perfect in His eyes. And He is the giver of all gifts. He doesn't ask the enemy, can I give it to Harry? Now, in our spirits, we're saying, surely it cannot mean all. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. I think, I don't mean to be egotistical here, but I think when I get through with this morning, this will be your definitive answer about healing, prosperity, salvation, and you can give it to anybody. Because I think it's going to be that simple. I'm going to paint you into a corner that we can't get out. I'm going to do it for me, and I'm going to do it for you. And now that you freely get, freely give. Matthew 4, 23 through 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee. That didn't mean all synagogues or Holy Land. That means every place he decided to go or he was directed to go, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Not just among the church or among his disciples. It was among the people. This opens up a tremendous field of ministry. Verse 24, then his fame went throughout all Syria, which tells you he wasn't in Jerusalem. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Well, but you're saying, now see, Jesus is going to do all this healing. Well, yeah, he did it all. He's already done it all. That's why he took his disciples and said, you do it. You know what that meant? That meant that I only have 2 hands and 10 fingers and 2 legs and it can only get me a certain amount of area. I need some more hands and legs. There's a lot of people that need to be healed. You know why he did this? You're going to have to understand this by the Spirit. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross, but he already knew how sickness and disease felt. Not because he was sick, because he took it upon himself. No more than he knew how to sin, he knew how it felt. Now let me even be more direct to you. When he took all of that upon his own flesh body, he was the biggest, sickest, most tormented, most sinning person on the face of the earth. Because he felt every feeling. So I don't care if it's a serial murderer, he knew what that felt like. If he were dying with AIDS, he knew what that felt like. If he was tormented by demons, he knew what it felt like. And that's why Matthew 14:14 says this, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. You know why God the Father, Jesus the Son, wants us saved so badly? Because he knows what it feels like to be a sinner. He doesn't know how to sin, but he knows what it feels like. See, the sin is not a terrible thing. It's the feeling you get from it. I can steal $100 from you, and you know what? That thing in my pocket, there's a possibility that my heart is hardened. I won't feel it. But there's some time in my life I felt really, really bad about sinning. I need to go back to that, by the way. The same thing with sickness, the same thing with demonic possession or oppression. Jesus knew what that felt like, and he wants you to minister his feelings towards that. What are that feelings? Let's get it out of the way. It's not an obstacle. I already covered and cleared the obstacle. Y'all believe this?
Yeah.
Man, I hope so. What about curses, thoughts, past sins? You're a hard crowd. Luke 6, verse 17 and 18. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd. I love that. He didn't get up on a pulpit somewhere. He got right down there with them. Why? Because he was being moved with compassion. And a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. He didn't have to make friends with them. All of a sudden, he didn't have to lay hands on them. He had to be moved by them. Do you know why Jesus went to the cross? Because of this. Because of what he saw in those people. Now, I know he saw you and I, but man, you've got to understand this. If I'm looking at somebody that's being eaten up with leprosy or AIDS or cancer, it touches me more than hearing about it. It would drive me to do something that I might not quite be ready to do. He was moved with compassion. All right, what prevents my healing? And if you haven't heard that one yet, you haven't talked to anybody about healing yet. I tried that. I believed that. It didn't work for me. I'm either healed or I'm not. You remember that one? I'm getting out of this church because of what you teach. I'm either healed or I'm not healed. You're right. I can't argue with that. I've been telling you that you are, but if it's still an option to you, then you're not. See, when are we going to move into the Word so strong that sickness is not an option? No more than sin is not an option. To you, I'd say you can rob, you go ahead and rob a bank, it's okay. No, that's not an option. Well, then go ahead and die of cancer. You should say to me, no, that's not an option. The same God that says one says the other. I didn't birth you, God would say, so that you can die at the hand of the enemy. What prevents my healing? Mark 6, 5 through 6. Now, Mark 6 doesn't prevent it. It just gives you a clue. Mark 6, 5 through 6. Now he could do no mighty work here or there, except that he laid his hands on a few, because a few sick people and healed them. See, God doesn't even think it's great for a few to be healed, so we shouldn't either. Here's verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He couldn't do it because of their unbelief. In one story, he had to lead the sick person out of the town and said it's because of their unbelief. So how are you going to get healed? You've got to move out of unbelief. That means if you're hanging with people that don't believe, move away. If you listen to yourself speak unbelief, change your conversation. If you're not preaching the kingdom, which is health and prosperity, salvation, then you need to change your preaching. Unbelief stops the promises of God. Well, how do I stop that? Move from unbelief. I'm telling you, it's not possible for you to be in the Word and propagate unbelief. It's not possible for you to ever praise and worship God and have unbelief grow. It's got to die. It's got to go away. Is that short and sweet enough, or do we need to cover it a little more? Maybe I need to just get point blank. If there's any sickness involved, it's from unbelief. Now, every time I say that, half the church runs off. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'm the UPS man. I'm not the author. Well, healing's only for the righteous, those with great faith. Okay, let me show you something that Jesus did to make that nonsense. Now, you listen carefully to this. Luke 22, 47 through 51. I've got to read you the story or you won't get it. It's just nearly too fast. 22, 47 through 51. Luke 22. And while Jesus was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the one that was commanded to heal the sick and raise the dead. So you can betray even after a command. Y'all got that? Even if you're saved, you can betray. Okay, let's keep going. Went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. So we also know that kissing Jesus is not necessarily a disciple. But Jesus said to him, in other words, what I'm trying to say is those that go around saying, Lord, Lord, are not always disciples of the Lord. Those that can quote Scripture are not always those that follow the Scripture. Right, Richard? We ran into some experience with that, with him. Not in him, but with him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? For those of you that ever have the thoughts of striking with a sword, just figure that that's common to man. It's not sin to have the thought. Okay? In fact, it's kind of natural to man, and if you don't have that once in a while, something may be dead in you. We may need to revitalize that a little bit, a little warrior spirit. Now listen to this, 50. And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, just because you're the servant of a man high priest, don't make you a Christian. Because this man disobeyed the God, because we find out later what God's will really was. He pulled out a sword. Let's just call him what he was. He was a man there to arrest or accuse Jesus. And this man, the servant of God, I put that in quotations, cut off the mean guy's ear, the bad guy's ear. You got this picture? Cut off the bad guy's ear. Now, who needed healing? The guy that just lost his ear. The other one needed some too, but let's look what happened. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Who got healed? The bad guy. Why? Because it's still the will of God. Healing is the will of God. Now let's just expand our thought processes just for a second. If salvation is offered to the sinner, is healing offered to the sinner? The proof is here. If you'll look at the ministry of Jesus, when it talks about dealing with sinners, the Scripture says he healed them and said, go and sin no more. He dealt with the salvation after the healing. Look at your stories when Jesus healed. He would first minister healing before he ministered salvation. Every story I've ever looked at. Now, I may miss one somewhere, but it caught me years ago, that Jesus first ministered in healing, then he administered in salvation. And what always amazed me is the Good Baptist Church. That's who I was being affected by, some people in that. They'd get on bullhorns and tell you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Jesus never once did it. Never once. He ministered out of compassion before he ministered people out of hell. So it's not just for the saved. No more than salvation is for the saved. It's a package. It's another thing God ministered to me years ago. The package was salvation, prosperity, healing. And it was all taken care of at the same place, at the same time, and all the church wants to deal with is salvation. And it's wrong. To take away 2/3 of what Jesus did is a sin against Jesus himself. I told you this was going to be definitive. Here's the last statement. Once Jesus was gone, and I'm not going to dwell on this one very long because from what I've already told you, I shouldn't have to convince you that it's still real for today. In 3 John chapter 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. We're not talking about the soulish man. We're talking about the physical man and the spiritual man combined. In this particular definition, it's a combination of the physical and the spiritual man. I want you to prosper and be in health as your spiritual man prospers. Amen. This is the will of God in all things, people. This is the will of God in all things, for all things, in all people. He wants every person saved. He wants Christians and sinners alike to know, number one, if you're a sinner, that there's an opportunity for you to be saved. And number two, if you're saved, there's an opportunity for you to be truly saved. Not partially saved. I don't want your sins forgiven and having you broken sick in heaven. Remember, I told you, heaven starts here. It don't start in the sweet by and by. Our relationship, our living forever with God starts this moment. If you've never believed it before, it starts this moment. God is not going to be different in heaven, and he don't want us different in heaven. He just wants us more free. He wants that to start here. I have aches and I have pains, and they're against God. They're not against me. I need to fight them as hard as I was defending my God personally. If I'm broke, that means that there's a piece of God that's broke, and I need to defend God, not my prosperity. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I don't need to be healed because I want to be comfortable. I need to be healed because Jesus said, I give it to you. And I don't want to offend him. I don't want to degrade him or take away from what he's done. And I don't want to go to somebody else and say, it's provisional. Give your heart to God and maybe you'll be healed. Because if I say that, then I got to say to you, now that you've given your heart to God, maybe you'll be healed. And that's not what we've read here this morning. God needs glory. He wants glory. And to do that, we have to recognize what he's done for us. And not only recognize it, but sell it. Sell it to me until I'm believing it fully, and then sell it to somebody else until they're believing it fully. Because I'm not selling what I got. I'm selling God. He's got me. I don't got him. There's nothing should touch us more than what God the Father and Jesus the Son has done for us and what it cost him. I can't imagine. That's why God's not asking me to do this, but I can't imagine God asking me to let my son be slaughtered in front of me for somebody else. Even when you're talking about they're in the military and they're running risk, you still can't grasp that. You can't grasp it. It's not in our ability to fully fathom the cost that it cost God and Jesus. But we might learn more if we practice more. if that salvation becomes precious to us, if the healing becomes precious, and if the prosperity, the joy, and the peace that God wants for us becomes so precious that we work towards that goal, we've got much to praise God about.
Amen.
Much to thank Jesus for. And you remember what I said at the beginning of this? One of the ways that we be healed is to wait or serve the Lord. I want to learn to serve Him in the fullness of salvation. Serve Him, not just practice not sinning. Practice not being sick. Practice not being poor. Practice not being out of control. God paid for all of that through Jesus. And now I need to honor Him by walking up in there and saying, "Devil, I don't care what you say. Body, I don't care what you say. Jesus has said this, and I believe that over the feelings, over the evidence, over the lies." You know, feelings and evidence are lies. There's only one truth, and that be God. Everything else, let every other man, every other statement, every other thought process of mine be a liar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, there wasn't a better message preached in all the world than that one this morning.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I am thrilled about that. I think I've convinced myself. Come on. If I've not convinced you, I've convinced me. And so don't try to talk me out of it. The truth of God is something else. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. Amen? Stand with me. Now, what do we do? The proper procedure in church activities would be we lay hands on everybody, they pass out, and we oil them all down, and we...
Let's do it.
He's a pervert. You know what I'd rather see? Because, see, you don't need the thrill. You really don't need the thrill. What you need is something that changes your life forever.
Right.
And that would be a decision. You know, if anything could happen here that's important this morning, I want everybody here. Does anybody here think that I don't want everybody healed, including me? So you already know my feelings in that, right? I want everybody healed, including me and including people I haven't even met yet. Now, what do you want? To me, that's what preaching is all about. It's what I said at the beginning. What do we want? God wants us healed. What do we want? Everything I read in the Scripture to you was when people made their mind to seek it, they got it. Every one of them. The only one that didn't seek it was the sinner that got his ear cut off. And he got it anyway.
Right.
He was hanging around with the right people.
Right. Right.
Meeting the right people. He was hanging around with the wrong club.
That's right. He showed up for the wrong reason, but he showed up at the right place.
Right.
The rest of us, can we just make a commitment to God this morning just to seek that which has already been so freely given? Then whatever the symptom is, and it doesn't make any difference if it's emotional, if it's mental, if it's physical, it does, if it's bank accountually, whatever you want to call that. Can we just make a decision that our decision is not to make a big fat bank account. It's to glory God, to glorify God. And that means there has to be some money in the bank. Well, we can't go around saying all my needs are met when we've walked for the last 40 years broke. And if God says, "Well, here's what I want you to do to go out and earn this money," then that's what we make a commitment to do.
Right.
Then if He says, "This is what I want you to do to be healthy," then that's what we need to do. If that's exercise, if it's diet, if it's nothing but quoting Scripture, it's whatever God tells us to do is going to get us totally healed, totally provided for, then that's what we need to do. Amen?
Yes.
If it's break relationship, if it's make relationship. Well, go back to that guy who got his ears cut off, or his ear cut off. I don't know that he was thrilled about going arresting Jesus, but he did it because his superior said so. Now, there's nothing better. I'd love to have a testimony that somebody cut my ear off and Jesus put it right back on. Well, you're looking at him. It's exactly what happened to me. Fire blew my ear off and God put it back on. Blew my nose off and God put it back on.
Hallelujah.
Wrong place, right time, I guess. I don't know what you want to call that. Except it's a testimony. It's the will of God in my life and it's the will of God in your life. God does not want us to suffer.
Right. He doesn't.
Well, unless it's suffering for Him, which only means this. That means I got to work a little bit for Him. That's what humans call work is suffering. Seriously, We'd like to have everything. What we'd like to do is be born into a family that we never have to do a lick work. And we'd call that a blessing. And yet when we look at it, most of the time it's a curse.
That's right.
It amazes me, the people that are born with the most advantages, the world would call it, are the most disadvantaged. And he mentioned Carrie. It's absolutely the truth. Man has no understanding because he's never worked a day in his life. Born into wealth. His wife, every time she opens her mouth, she insults somebody. Why? Because she thinks she's higher than everybody. If you work for what you got, you know you're not higher than everybody. That's what Jesus did. Jesus worked for the approval of God. Therefore, he did not exalt himself. He didn't say, I got healing in my hands, everybody look at me. Come on. He didn't make a show of it. He didn't rent a stadium and had everybody come in and say, I'm going to heal you, me in my special suit or dress. He didn't do that. He ran away from crowds and they followed him. And he said, all right already, be healed. Gee, well, leave me alone. It's the attitude, guys. What's our attitude? I want our attitude right now to be this. God, whatever you've given me, I want. I want it so bad, I'm going to go get it. The other day I needed some parts for a building. I drove all the way to Grand Junction to get them, to pick them up and bring them back. Okay? But maybe I won't even take a moment to seek God about healing. Come on. We'll spend dollars to do nothing. We'll fill our gas tanks to go nowhere. And yet we find it hard to believe and seek God. Let's don't be lazy. Let's exalt God in all things. Amen? Now, are our hearts clear? Do we need to address some things here? And did you gamble? That means you gambled?
I did. And I don't want to do that anymore.
Now, for those of you that mock that, shame on you. Because we all have those things that God talks to about, and we slip and do them anyway. And the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. And there's encouragement in that, not discouragement.
Amen. And I like to pray for Tanya.
What did she slip in?
She didn't say.
No.
Of God.
It's not of God. It's not of Tanya.
That's right. It doesn't belong.
It's not of God and it's not of Tanya. I don't receive it. We need to really learn the phrase, I don't receive that.
Amen.
It's one of the charismatic statements that we let slide and we shouldn't have. A very strong statement. When you can say to the enemy or whatever is affecting you, I don't receive this. I've already received the previous package and it overrides this.
Amen. Yes.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Sergeant Hoffman has returned from Iraq without a scratch on him.
Amen. And give God glory for us being at least half-witted enough to pray for him. We thank God for that. However we say it, we thank God for that. Richard, you hold your hand up? Oh, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I'm telling you, I'm fighting some tremendous battles in, it seems like, a lot of different directions, and all I have to do is give up. It seems so simple. Life would be just so simple if you just give up. You understand? Life is always trying to add responsibilities to you. Okay? I would. Give up. Yeah, well, it's not, I can't quit, but I can give up. You know, when you're a soldier, you throw your white flag up and give up, you ain't quit. You're still in the military. And the other military is going to teach you how much you are in the military. They're going to torture you and they're going to do things to you you don't want to know about. Especially if you're in special forces. Then you get to know what training really is. Yes?
My right heel.
Huh? Oh, your right heel?
Tuesday, I swam.
You what?
Tuesday, I swam.
Swam, okay.
No, my team. And ever since then, it's decided that if I move it a certain way, it's going to give me sharp pain.
Oh, you got a water bruise. A water bruise? See, that's exactly the way we should do it when the enemy offers us this kind of stuff. What?
A water bruise?
Well, doesn't that make sense? You know what you said? You went swimming, and now your heel hurts. Does it make any sense?
No.
Good. We agree with that. That doesn't make any sense, and we don't receive it. And her, we disagree that she has that. We agree that she's healed in Jesus' name.
Amen?
Amen. We receive the sergeant being back safe and sound, and all of those people. We rebuke the enemy against our soldiers, against this country, in whatever form it comes. We bow to the will of God in this United States and all of its emissaries, no matter what, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody else, by the way? We agree with Richard. No, don't. Fully with Richard. We agree with God
Amen.
That Richard is healed.
Yes.
And we stand with him
yes.
as he receives it.
Yes.
Amen. And we stand with God in rebuking Karen. Don't do what God tells you don't do.
Amen.
Now, we didn't side against God for Karen. That's what we really need. That's what Jesus said, go and preach. Let's stand with God. When she said, God's gotten after me, all right, then we get after you. Let's stand with God.
Amen.
But when we stand with God, then we don't step up on the platform and tell us how unrighteous she is, how righteous we are. So we just agree that becomes our, whatever God wants in her life, that becomes her platform for living and her reason for living.
Yes.
And about Stephen. See, there's a report come that he has hepatitis. That's a man's report, guys. And maybe God is going to use this report to try to get him to do right.
Amen.
And that we would agree with also.
Yes. Amen.
That God can use what was meant for bad and turn it to good.
Yes.
And that's what we want. I want him healed. But listen to me carefully. I want him healed in God's timing. If God has to use this to get him to be the father and the husband that he's supposed to be, so be it. And then we also want him to be a church member where God wants him to be, doing what God wants him to do. We don't want that sickness to be passed on to the children.
Amen.
So we block that and curse that, huh?
Amen.
That's right. Let it glorify God. Without his mouth, it'll glorify God, not just ours.
Amen.
Amen. Did I forget somebody else? We did, but we'll do it again if you don't think it took. Lord, we know that in Tanya's life there's been attacks. And we know that she's no good and she's deserving of all bad things. And we know all of that. We know all of that. The devil's told us over and over. But we know what you've told us, and that we receive.
Yeah.
That she's worthy because you said.
Yes, right.
And it's been given freely to her. All the things that bother her, we now curse and remove in Jesus' name. Those tormenting spirits. Let's not be afraid of saying things like that. Those tormenting spirits that bother her, we curse them in Jesus' name. And we release with all due diligence the healing and salvation and prosperity in her life that gives her joy and peace and stability. No Achilles heels in the family. No mental problems. And more than everything, the enemy tries to kill. There is no ties to the past. None in Jesus' name. She's free to operate in God's plan, present, and future. There aren't any ties to mom, to grandmom, to sin, to whatever that the devil is lying to her about. There's no ties. There's none. She doesn't have to prove herself to anybody except to you, Lord. Let her be faithful to that. Now I convince you, Tanya, to receive freely the gift that's been given freely and then give it away. Don't give Tanya away. Give the gift away in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, here's the cool part about serving God. When I receive what he gives me, I'm 1,000 times better person than I was. And I don't have to defend the person that I was. I don't give a flip. Do you know how bad you are? Yeah, now let's move on. Yeah, I'm bad. Yeah, I got that down. Me and God got that down a long time ago. But he also convinced me that it wasn't continuing and it wasn't contagious.
Amen.
It's not ongoing, and it's not contagious. I won't get it again. I don't have to. I got a feeling healing is totally contagious. It was so contagious that even when Jesus didn't want crowds around, they found him. They wanted what he had. We need to have enough of Jesus in us to have people want what we got. Amen? Anybody else? Did we cover everything?
A DVD player with MP3 capabilities. Brand new in the box, remote control, and we want to offer it to someone in the body. If you want to make a donation to the church as a result of receiving it, that's fine, but it's brand new. So, see Patrick.
Yeah, the idea was like we offer the messages on MP3, and you'll get a DVD player at the same time, but that way if somebody doesn't have an MP3 player and they want to specifically use it to listen to the messages, then that's my heart to give it to that person, and you'll get a brand new spanking DVD player along with the MP3 player. So if somebody can use that, I suggest you talk to me.
No difference. It all uses the same.
One's a little bit.
Looks all.
One's a bigger one.
It's also a CD player. It's also an MP3 player.
And it's a video or audio.
MP3 means you can put a lot more information on a lot smaller disk. And what he's saying is it's eventually, I don't know if it is or not. It looks like we'd go that way, but most of your newer DVD players will do MP3s.
Yes.
So, but if you don't have one, well, there's been an offer here. And praise God for that.
Amen.
All right. I'd jump on that quick if I didn't have one. But I have several of them now, so. And I told you my new truck doesn't even have a tape player. So, that tells you the direction we're going. Pretty soon tapes are going to go the way of the old 8-track. All right, if we're clear, please. I'm going to tell you again. I don't know how many we've got now. There's about 5 basics. No. Oh, that's right. There could be. Yeah, that I did part 2s, and I don't count them that way. So, anyway, use them. But on this particular one, seriously, I'd get it, and I'd have it as ammunition for those that want to argue. Because you've now been presented, as far as I'm concerned, as clear and concise as possible, God's opinion about healing. Now, I may be wrong. Somebody else may do it different, but nobody's going to do it better. How about that? Can I just say that? And you can present that to people that are still, you know, there's a lot of Christians that struggle with healing. They don't have any struggle with salvation. But in reality, let me tell you something. If they're struggling with healing, they're having a struggle with salvation. Because they're not fully accepted in the true body of Christ yet. The body of Christ has no sicknesses or disease.
That's right.
That may be easy to understand, saying hard to walk, but easy to understand. If we can picture the body of Christ being totally saved, and it doesn't include healing, it's not the total body of Christ.
Right.
So we need to set our standards higher.
Amen.
And I'm going to go back to what Dad used to say all the time. I'd rather see you aim high and miss than aim low and hit. So let's have a high sight. Amen? Praise you, Lord. God, we don't thank you for the message that was given by this person. I thank you that it was for the contract and the free gift that was given by you. That's what we thank you for. That's what we praise you for right now. We thank you for it, and we praise you that we are healed, that we are prosperous, we are saved in Jesus' name, and we receive no other report. Nothing else compares to the truth of God. Everything falls short as a lie. We call it a lie. We call it a lie. I don't care what hurts, what's plaguing us or bothering us. If we call that a lie enough, the truth will prevail. The truth is we are healed, prosperous, saved, full of joy, sound mind, mind of Christ, powerful, mighty in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. We'll receive no other report. We do that with praise and thanksgiving and adoration. We do it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.